Thank you for that prayer, and we trust that the Lord will speak to us. As we turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, we've been looking at that for some time now, and we've entitled this series, Live Up to Your Name, Your Saints. You should live up to your name. We have been blessed beyond abundance. God has blessed us, as we saw in the first three chapters, and as we begin into looking at the second three chapters, the second part of the book, we are to behave beyond our ability because we have been blessed beyond abundance. We're looking today, continuing the subject of walking in the Spirit, living by the Spirit, walking in harmony. And if we're filled with the Spirit, the Scripture says there are some obvious characteristics of those who are. And they are people who sing psalms, spiritual songs, and also hymns. And then, of course, there are people who are filled with thanksgiving. And there are people who also are people of mutual submission. And that mutual submission, as Paul begins his epistle here, deals with the marital relationship. It deals with the paternal relationship. And it also deals with the occupational relationship as well. So as we begin today, we begin to look at a word to the wise. Not wise, but wives. Now, they may be wise wives, but we're looking at a word to the wives, and as well, those who wish to become wives. All right, so ladies, this is for you. Now, we're going to look at the word to the wives, beginning in chapter 5, looking at verse number 22. Paul says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." I want to look first of all at the matter of submission. Today we continue our study, as I said before, about walking in harmony. And we have learned that we are to mutually submit to one another. But now Paul begins to zero in on relationships, specific ones. And first of all, he deals with the husbands and the wives. And we have a responsibility. The general duty is to submit as believers one to another. But now he gets specific and he gives a word to the wives. Interestingly, we do not see the word submit in the verse number 22. Wives, submit to your husbands. It's not there. So you're off the hook, ladies. No, you're not. We will see that it also is in the following verses, but it also, what does the word submit mean to begin with? It means to give over or to yield power. It means to live underneath. This submission refers to function in marriage. It doesn't have anything to do with essence. We are the same. Husbands and wives or men and women are equal in the eyes of God. But here it has to do with function. The submissiveness refers to function only in marriage. And note the fact that she is to be submissive to her own husband. That indicates the reference to the home. And there is a divinely ordained hierarchy that's grounded in the order of creation. And this order, the wife is placed under her husband. Order is a unifying factor in all of God's creation. And what happened was, sin blew that thing, blew it up. Satan challenged Adam and Eve to defy God's authority. God created man first, and then he gave him the position of headship. God then created the woman second, giving her the subordinate position in relationship to man. And so Adam was made to rule from his head, and Eve was made to rule from her heart, so to speak. And Satan persuaded Adam and Eve to change the rules. That's what the problem is. Eve took the lead in the place of headship. Satan cleverly aimed the temptation at Eve, at her mind, and he engaged her thought and her intellectual discussion, and she succumbed to his suggestion. Surely thou shalt not eat of that. I mean, it's good. Eat it. And she did. She took. what was expressly forbidden by God. And the result was that she was deceived. And Satan kind of stepped back and let her then say, well, Adam, here, go at it. And Adam, of course, succumbed as well. He was not deceived. He disobeyed. And so the Bible says that Adam disobeyed God. And from that time on, Romans chapter 8 and verse 20 is so true of the world. Romans 8:20 says, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope." All of creation was placed under the subject of futility. Now, isn't that encouraging? All of us, futility. The word means nothingness, emptiness, purposelessness, nonsense. We're just nonsense, purposeless. Theologically, it is what is devoted or devoid of truth and appropriateness. The word is used in chapter 4, verse 7 of our text in Ephesians, which says, "Now this I say, and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds." In the futility of their minds. You see, here, as in Romans chapter 8, verse 20, it describes something that does not measure up to that which was intended and which falls or fails to accomplish the purpose for which it was created. We all fall short of the purpose that God created us to be. And that's true of everything. The world is futile, so to speak. And so Paul gives a fallen group of believers at Ephesus these instructions. God expects those who have been blessed beyond abundance to live beyond their ability. Why? Because they have the Spirit of God living within them, and they have the capability of submitting one to another. And so the distinction, or the distinction of function, is nothing new in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, God said, "Your desire shall be to your husband," speaking to Eve, "but he shall rule over you." So there was a distinction of function. Even earlier in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, he said, "They shall become one flesh." They are one in essence, but yet they have a different function. That's similar to the Godhead. Very similar. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're one in essence, yet each has a different function. And so the marriage relationship is somewhat of a picture of the Godhead in that sense. The Scripture says, as we read in the twin epistle, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18, we read these words, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord." So their wives, it may not be in the book of Ephesians, the word submit in verse 21, but verse 22 rather, but it is in the twin passage as Paul wrote the book of Colossians. It's there. The phrase "as is fitting" means seemingly or proper. It's proper for the wife to submit. In the old Septuagint, the word was used this way with regard to a legal binding. It also was used with regard to, in a legal sense, that we've been studying on Wednesday night. Remember, we looked at Philemon verse 8. It says there, "According, though I am bold," Paul says, "I'm bold enough in Christ to command you to take back Onesimus, but I'm bold enough to do what is," and here's the word, "required." Required, same word as fitting. Notice, Paul is saying that the wife's submission to her husband is in a sense a kind of a legal binding. It's fitting, it's proper. It's seemingly. It's what one ought to do. It's what God expects. It is accepted in the law of human society. And God has order in all things. He's not the God of chaos. He's the God of the cosmos. He put order in. And just as he put order in the Tomorrow will be spring, believe it or not. It comes every year. And yet, there's order in creation. There's also order in the home. The husband is the head of the home, but the wife is to be in submission. The point is that the wife is to submit to the husband because it is divinely ordered and because it is obligatory, a design for the human existence. That's the way God made us. And her submission is to be regarded as a part of her obedience to the Lord. This should be encouraged to fulfill the responsibility because it is rooted in her love for the Lord. It is to the Lord. It is to the Lord. Peter also gives word with regard to wives. He said in his first letter, beginning in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands," notice again, to your own husbands, "so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct." Even wives who have unbelieving husbands have the responsibility to submit to their husbands. So even if your husband is not a believer, you have the responsibility to respect and obey him in a sense so that they may see that you are respectful and they may see your pure conduct. And God will honor obedience. And he does so all the time. He honors obedience. Now, notice that is God's word with regard to obedience. Notice what he says, the manner of submission. How do we submit? Verse 22, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." Oh, as to the Lord. That means you submit to your husband as if it were Jesus himself, or he were Jesus. You're submitting, doing something as, that's a very strong statement. A very strong statement. Listening to my husband as if he is the Lord himself. Wives, God expects you to love your husband so much that you will be willing to subject yourself to doing things that maybe you don't even want to do. Like spend a day going through the Hall of Fame with smelly old uniforms. Or perhaps camping out with bugs. You know, now, the Lord wants us to obey, wants wives to obey as to the Lord. Now that may take into a number of things that you do not like. I believe that is the qualifier, as to the Lord. I don't think submission is necessary if your husband asks you to rob a bank. I don't think it's necessary if he asks you to do anything that is contrary to God's word or God's will. Remember, Jesus did a number of things that weren't easy for him when it came to submitting to God's will. Imagine God Almighty submitting himself to live in the womb of a woman for 9 months. And then the first thing he saw was a stinky old stable when he came out of that womb. God Almighty. He should have been put in the Ritz-Carlton or wherever. But no, he submitted himself to God's will. He was confined for that time. This holy, sinless person having to live and play and work in this sin-cursed world and to listen to foul-mouthed sailors and people who despised him and his heavenly Father. It must have grieved him every time he heard somebody take God's name in vain. Think of that. He submitted himself to this earth. But not only did he submit himself to that, he submitted himself to taking upon himself our sins. And he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, that we might have God's righteousness given to us. Think of that. That is really ultimate submission. Submission. Submissive to the point that God turned his back upon him and he was separated. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is the ultimate submission. Note, in all that Jesus did, he never was asked to submit or yield to any sinful practice. And I think that's a principle that should be remembered, ladies. The fall introduced many situations and circumstances that are difficult for this age. Questioning a husband's reasoning or telling him about an error is not rebellion. And you can't put, tell the guy, you can't put a metal spoon in a microwave. We don't know any better. That's just the way we are. Heat it up. So it's not necessarily not telling him even when he's wrong. A Christian woman can stand against her husband if he demands to cause her to sin, and any refusal should be done in humility and in love. And his submission, Jesus' submission, was to God the Father, and a wife's submission should be to the Lord. Now notice, he continues and he gives us the motive of this submission. For the husband is the head of the wife. When Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers, he explains the spousal order. He wrote, "But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God." Chapter 11, verse 3 of the first epistle. Paul continued in verse 11 and 12, and he said, "Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man independent of woman. For as a woman was made from man, so a man is now born of a woman, and all things are from God. Men and women are independent regardless of what the warped, woke world wants to tell you. This world needs them both. Two women cannot have a baby. Neither can two men have a baby. It's an established fact of creation and God's order. It's established. And nothing has changed over time, and nothing will change as time continues to exist. The problem is, no part of nature exists today as God intended it. Why? Because sin messed it up, blew it up, as we said. No part of nature exists today as God intended it. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, God clearly says this, "God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. The head is to take the lead. And when my brain decides to walk, my legs and feet need to respond. And when my body responds to the head, it's not demeaning, it's not shameful, it's not humiliating, it's harmonious. It's the way it's supposed to be." And the same with regard to the home. The body doesn't respond to the head. That is, a body that doesn't respond to the head, it's degrading, it's unbelievable. Something is wrong. And when we watch all these college athletics, I mean, what greater month is there in all of the world than March Madness? There is no better. Not even April and those guys playing golf. It's the best. I mean, think of the coordination when the head tells the body to do something. Those guys make unbelievable, amazing, it's just indescribable. Now, they respond, their minds, their bodies respond to their mind. Their bodies respond to the head. And players, they submit one to another, and they submit to the coach, or they're not going to win. Again, this motive is based upon function. It's not the coach's job to put the ball in the basket. It's the player's responsibility. And if they don't function that way, they're not going to win. And if you want a happy home, the only way to function is the way God intended it to function. And so I remind you again, no part of nature exists today as God originally intended it. So we have to go back and look at what God intended. When Eve took the headship and the role and set the example for every fallen woman to follow, that's what she did. Is it any wonder that many women today desire to be the head? This is the very heart of their fallen disposition. Women want to rule. That's the way the fallen disposition has made them, because that's the way Eve led. She took the lead. She wants to be the boss. Ever heard the term bossy? And that was the name of one of our cows. The husband is to be the head of the wife in function. In function only, not in essence. Now notice the model of the submission. The scripture says, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and himself as Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also the wife should submit to their husbands. The marital relationship is an exalted one, because the picture of Christ and the church, think of that. Your marriage relationship, whether it be now or in the future, is to be a picture of Christ and the church. What a mystery. What a marvel. Christ is the agent of salvation or deliverance, the one who rescues, delivers, and saves and preserves. And the word is used here of God as the protector and the preserver, the one who rescues in danger and peril. And Jesus is the agent sent by God to deliver us from sin. And here we have a glimpse of the husband, which we'll consider next week. Here in verse 24, Paul leaves no doubt about submission. It's not implied, but here it's stated, as well as in Colossians chapter 3. The wife's special deference to her husband takes its example from a supernatural relationship, God the Father and God the Son. Not one in function, simply one in essence. Note, the wife is to submit as the church submits to Christ. Now that is a lofty plane. You know, I thought about, why are there so many women in the church possibly that don't submit to their husbands? Did you notice it says that they are to submit as the church submits to Christ? And how many of our churches maybe are run by guys who just run the church and don't listen to Christ? And so the wives have no example to watch or to see. Now that's just a thought. And I'm not throwing that at you specifically. I'm just saying that to the church in general. Here in Ephesians, Paul discusses the whole concept of marriage in the Lord on a high level. And the illustration of Christ and the church, as I said before, it's a lofty one. The perspective should be the end. We shouldn't be quibbling over responsibility of what to do. God has laid out the roles for us. And role reversals just simply are not an option in God's master plan. Men and women are to be functioning as God has commanded. There's no in-between. There's no reversal of roles. Satan simply continues to batter us when it comes to our relationship. Did God really say that? Is the Bible really relevant in this day and age in which we live? Now, how far are we to go, women, in obedience? Notice what Paul says as he concludes here in verse 24. He says, submit in everything to their husbands. Now, it's not a great word, but it's an a literary word. The mass of submission. How far? How much? Well, Paul gives the extent to the wife's submission. The mass is to be in everything to the Lord. Now, I suggest to you there is a limit. Submission is not unconditional. There is an exception. If a husband tells a wife to do something that's disobedient to God's word, Peter clearly says we must obey God rather than men. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. This is not necessarily a black and white issue, however. That's what makes a pastor's job so hard. You say, well, it certainly looks black and white to me. Well, it's not. What if your husband tells you not to be going to church on Sunday? He'd rather you stay home with him. What if he'd say, I don't want you giving to that church. Don't give them any money whatsoever. You know, it's not black and white. It's tough. Where do you draw the line? I can see maybe perhaps on occasion, maybe he would want you to stay home with him, but all the time? I don't know. Again, that's where your attitude comes in. Honoring him in all things humbly and with love. That he may see what kind of a person you really are, and he may say, honey, you can go to church, or you can do this or that. I didn't come here to get into a counseling situation, but you see, it's not all black and white. Now, let's just talk about submission for a moment. Some of you say, well, that's a lot of restriction. That's domination. That's authoritarian. That's old school. We live in a woke world. Come on. What's the matter with you? Well, I'll tell you what's the matter with me. Have you looked at the news in Ohio lately? Springfield, where Pastor grew up. Train wreck. Over in East Palestine, train wreck. Up in Cleveland, train wreck. You look at our whole government, train wreck. But why train wrecks? Train wreck, when is a train most effective? When it is controlled, when it is limited to the place for which it was ordained, the tracks. Then it can do wonderful things and accomplish great things. Well, when it gets off those tracks, look out. I say to you, ladies, I say to you, men, when you get off track, look out. Then you get in a place where the world is out of whack. And so, stay on track. Be most effective. Be where God puts you to be. Freedom in God's word never comes apart from structure. That is a real problem with our culture today and our society in which we live. You see, our world is a world where we like jazz. You know why we like jazz? I'm not a musician. But our world is a world of jazz. It involves spontaneity and variety in musical production and improvisation. We like to improvise. We like to do our own thing. We like to go our own way. You see, jazz is emotional, and it tried various instrumental techniques, and it's spontaneous. And too often, that's the way we are in our roles. We want to be spontaneous. We want to just go with our emotions. And so we have a jazzy relationship, which really doesn't harmonize with God's word. Too often, women would rather respond to their emotions or other women around them and what they say. I mean, they sit and they listen to these mindless women on TV and their advice, and they ignore God's plan. In this case, all doesn't necessarily mean all when it comes to obeying God in everything, as I said before. Stay on the rails. Be humble. Submit as best you can. And let them see the person that you are. submit as unto the Lord. It's a matter of submission. It's a manner of submission. The motive of submission is because he's the head. And the model of submission is like Christ and the church. You can't get a better model than that. And the mass of submission, well, it's everything with some limitations. And I'm not going to go into all those limitations. You'll have to let the Spirit of God direct you in some of those. Well, I'm going to have to hightail it out of here today. Not say hello to any women. Next week, I'll have to hightail it out of here and not say hello to any men. Remember, I'm just the messenger. I didn't write the book. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have created a world of order. And certainly as we look at this world, we can see order because we see spring coming tomorrow and it comes every year, same time. You have kept your order in creation. And yet, Lord, your whole world is subject to futility. And even the marriage relationship. So we pray today that you would help us to come back to your order, to submit to your word, and to be an example before this world where the home is totally devalued today. Marriage is anything and everything but what it's supposed to be. Help us, Lord, to be an example, to be a light in this dark world, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.